Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Have you ever thought about downsizing? But I mean like really, really downsizing, not moving from your house to like a two-bedroom condo. I'm talking to something tiny, like teeny tiny. Michael Bartz lives in a tiny home, like an actual tiny home in Lethbridge, Alberta. He built it with his partner. They don't have to pay rent. They don't carry a mortgage. And that has afforded a whole different paradigm in terms of finances and lifestyle. He's here now to talk about how this came to be and some of the dollars and cents associated with his choice. Michael is also the host of the In Over My Head podcast. Hello there, Michael.
Hi, Bruce.
How tiny is tiny? Like 20 by 20?
We got 175 square feet on the inside.
So that's like 10 by 20.
It's 24 by 8. It's a bit longer than
24
it is wide,
by 8. Okay. Yeah. Do you have a bathroom?
Yep.
What if I were to, if you were to give me a little tour in just a couple of sentences, how would you describe what I would see?
Yeah. So the tiny house is on a trailer and the entrance is on the right-hand side. You come into a galley-style kitchen. And to your left is the living room slash guest bedroom slash office. And above that is the loft where we sleep. And then from the entrance on the right is the bathroom as well.
How's it heated?
It's heated by propane heat.
Why did you decide to build this tiny house and change your lifestyle in what sounds like a pretty dramatic way?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. A big one was the environmental impact. I wanted to lower my environmental impact, but also the financial side of things. I wasn't quite ready to settle down. I didn't want to live in a certain place, so I wanted to be a bit more mobile. And the idea of owning a regular house and having a mortgage just really wasn't attractive to me. So because a lot of tiny houses are on wheels, I could move where I wanted to go. And also the cost was far, far lower, which was a very attractive thing as well.
How much was it all told? And you put in some sweat equity there.
Yeah. So it was about $40,000 or so, but that's just in material because I did all of the labor myself. I hired out the spray foam insulation, but everything else from building the trailer, my dad and I built the trailer because he's a welder. He taught me to weld, and the framing, the siding, I had help with the electrical, a friend helped me with the electrical, everything I did myself. So thousands of hours of building, but lots of learning as well.
For someone who has no skills, literally putting in a new light bulb is a stretch for me. So I have no skills. If you were to estimate what it would cost to outsource that part of it, it'd be 40 grand in materials plus what?
Probably another 40 to $50,000 just in labor for sure.
And you are debt-free. You earn, below the median income in Canada. You can do that and support your lifestyle. Give me a picture of your, monthly income and expenses.
Yeah. So yes, I am debt free. The house is paid for with cash. And as you said, we don't have any rent because we actually live on a farm where I kind of help out with odd jobs. And yeah, on average, I make as an artist about $12,000 a year, about $1,000 a month, which again is quite low compared to other people. But my actual monthly expenses, like the bare bones, including all the food I need, my car, insurance, a cell phone, some utilities, I can get by on comfortably on $500 a month. And that frees up a lot more time and stress that I can pursue creative projects and not have to worry about paying the bills.
You do this really everywhere. Like I was reading about how you shop for food and how you cook for yourself. So would you describe yourself as frugal?
Yes, I would for sure. I think a big part of living this lifestyle and being able to live on such little money is definitely eating at home, cooking at home, making bulk meals and freezing those. So not always eating out. We do now and again, but really prioritizing making food ourselves is a really great way to cut down on our monthly food expenses.
When you look at the, 5 to 10 year time horizon, do you think that you will tow that tiny home to different places or across the country or maybe across North America and spend times where you live in other places?
It's possible. Originally, when I started building the house, I thought of a documentary project where I took the house across the country or North America, but we moved it onto a farm just outside of Lethbridge. And even just moving that, I was on pins and needles. And I mean, I'd spent 4 years building this thing, thousands of hours. And now I can't imagine like taking it down some dirt road in Alaska or something like this is our home. So I as much as it can move, and we may move from time to time, I think staying in a place for several years at a time is probably more realistic.
Right. It's not an RV. You didn't build an RV. You built a home that happens to have a trailer on it.
Yeah, it is built on wheels, and it is built as light as possible, but I think it's because it's our home and I have so much invested in it, I don't want to be moving it regularly.
How do you think about retirement savings? And I'm using air quotes. You can't see me, but I'm using air quotes here because you do live so frugally. You don't have a huge carry. It's almost like at this rate, you could get by with the government programs, CPP, GIS, those sorts of things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that people shouldn't save for retirement. And I was working in post-secondary when I built the house, and I have a small pension from that job. And yes, and government pensions. But yeah, living the way that we do and being happy this way. And for me, pursuing life as an artist and creating projects that are meaningful to me, I right now I'm not prioritizing putting a lot away for retirement because I know that if things go the way they are now, that I can live on very little, very happily. So it's not really at the forefront of my mind.
What is the essence of the trade-off that you are making for you to live this way, to make the choices that you have made? What do you feel like you are trading off? Or is this just how you choose to live? And it actually doesn't, you don't experience it as a trade-off.
Yeah, I would say it's probably the latter. I think I definitely went through a transition, definitely when I started to research and then build the house and downsizing and meeting other people who were living, as I call it, unconventionally. So for me, it's not necessarily that I'm trading off something, it's that I'm prioritizing the things I want to do now rather than waiting till I'm 65 and then saying, well, now I'm going to live my life. Well, that's too late. Why not live now? Life is short and I'm still very frugal, right? It's not that you're going to put some trip on a credit card and forget about it later. And like, obviously I'm very financially secure that way because I have a very good control of my finances. But as far as that mindset, I am right now prioritizing living the way we want to, downsizing, more of a community thing. I think more people my age, especially, you know, a lot of them are purchasing houses and getting into a mortgage and, you know, that's an investment. I mean, for me personally, I kind of think about with your house, it's like, when did houses become just an investment property? Whereas this house is our home and we love it and we live in it. And it's, yes, it's not going to appreciate in value. And that's okay. I could take that my low cost of living, I could take that money and put it into a interest savings account or some sort of savings account for retirement. So it's not, I'm not putting all of my money into my house. It's freeing up more of my money now or more of my time now, because that was a big thing for me, was I'm buying more time. And right now I need the time to be working on these projects. Not when I'm 65, I need it now.
What would you say about the relationship dynamic? So you've mentioned your partner, you live there together. How have you navigated the financial conversations on this?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, my partner Sarah, she actually works as a researcher for the federal government. She's a microbiologist. So for her, like, she actually has a very good salary and a pension, all those things. But our day-to-day expenses, we split 50-50. So if, you know, the utilities, for example, or if we buy some food, it's all 50-50. So she's very much on the same wavelength. Obviously, I wouldn't be with someone who wasn't like-minded like I am. And she came from Spain, moved here and just had a suitcase and was very much a traveler. So she was very much into the minimal living and downsizing. So we're on the same wavelength as far as our expenses. And because we live in such a small home that we aren't purchasing a lot of things, it's very, a lot of our purchases are very intentional.
Where are you going to put it? You got no
right?
room to
yeah,
put
there's
it
no
anywhere.
Room, right. Yeah.
And I can imagine it's not that it's harder or easier, but there's a different dynamic of managing a relationship when you have under 200 square feet. You just have to navigate the terms, I'm sure, in a way that's different from someone who's got a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah, there's just a lot more communication. And because there's just less space, like a good example is when I built the house, we were both working in offices outside of the home. And since then we've moved to home offices, which is, again, like I said, guest room / living room / office. So we're, you know, a few feet away from each other. And I was actually surprised at how easily we adapted to that space. But my thinking is actually that it was probably because it was an intentional choice, because I had spent years building this house, dreaming about when we move into it. And Sarah was very much on board with that. So most of the time I find that we don't have any sort of issues. We just laugh about it if it's fun and it's not a big deal.
Well, please thank her for allowing you to talk to us today. I don't know if she's hiding nearby with earplugs on or she's gone for a walk, but whatever she has had to do to accommodate you and therefore us, we appreciate it.
Yeah, she's gone to the lab, so she's not around.
Smart. Michael, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for your time, Bruce.
Michael Bartz is a blogger, a podcaster. In Over My Head is his show. But our focus today was talking about his tiny home in Lethbridge, Alberta. He built it himself. It's on a trailer. And boy, has he got some insight on how to live a lifestyle that is unfamiliar to many of us.